Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2036 with a release date of Friday, November 4th, 2016, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. We bring you an update on the brave hams in India who are monitoring suspicious signals on the border. We pay tribute to Three Silent Keys, and if you're a fan of AM operation, you'll be glad for some news we have from Australia. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2036 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
We begin with an update about some courageous amateurs who have apparently made some progress tracking a potential terror threat in India. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
India's Intelligence Bureau is now responding to reports from amateur radio operators who believe they have pinpointed the region from which suspicious radio transmissions have been intercepted. The amateurs spent several days conducting around-the-clock monitoring of the signals which were sent at night along the border with Bangladesh. Ambarish Bagh Biswas, VU2JFA, Secretary of the West Bengal Amateur Radio Club, has been listening on VHF with club members after authorities had expressed concerns that the transmissions might be linked to extremists or terrorist activity. A report in the Indian Express notes that the coded transmissions heard at night appear to have been pinpointed as coming from the West Bengal region of Bazirat. Bazirat has been widely viewed as a nexus for terrorism. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Two men in Georgia have been charged with plotting an attack on the high-frequency active auroral research project in Alaska, a facility of great interest to the amateur community. Authorities released news of the arrest as Newsline went to production. An arsenal of weapons was also recovered that the police believe were to be used in the planned attack. The plot was discovered during an investigation of reports that one of the suspects was engaged in selling drugs. Marmion Grimes, a representative of the University of Alaska at Fairbanks, told the Alaska Dispatch that the research facility has faced threats before and was grateful Georgia authorities were alert. The authorities said the pair had told them they were acting on directions from God. The amateur community has suffered three more losses. They are National Medal of Science winner, an expert in acoustics, and ARRL President Emeritus Jim Haney, W5JBP. Jim had been in failing health when he died on November 1st. He was the ARRL's 13th president and began his term in January of 2000. He served in that post for 6 years. His tenure was marked by strong advocacy for ham radio education, and his promotion of radio science in the classroom led to the ARRL's Education and Technology Program. He was outspoken on Capitol Hill on such issues as spectrum protection and deed restrictions. Haney, who was named Amateur of the Year at the 2000 Dayton Hamvention, was a force in mustering hams to assist after the 9/11 attacks and testified before Congress about radio response during Hurricane Katrina. Jim Haney was 73. We hear now from Amateur Radio Newsline's Paul Brown, WD9GCO, about contester and DXer Paul Obert, K8PO.
Contesting is an activity that some hams just approach casually, others very seriously. And for some, like Paul Obert, K8PO, it was an obsession. His antenna farm resembles an antenna research facility. Sadly, Obert became a silent key on October 21st. I spoke with two hams who had known Paul, and I asked for their memories of the man. Larry Emery, K1UO, remembers the first time he heard him on the air.
Well, I first heard Paul on the air. He was what I would call my new competition that I didn't know about when he came to Maine. I kept wondering who the guy was, this K8PO guy that kept beating me out on the low band, because we enjoy 160-meter DXing and so forth. And so one day the wife and I took a drive to Paul and his wife Jackie's place in Union, and I saw all of these towers and stacks from 40 to 10 meters and then a full-size 160-meter vertical. And I says, aha, that sort of answered that question. And that's when the first day I met him, we kind of hit it off. And of course, Paul would do anything for you. The past few years, we'd meet up sort of halfway in a little hole-in-the-wall diner and, you know, run over the past, either the past contest activities or just anything in general we were trying. Last things we were talking about was remoting, since I was in an HOA.
Scott Redd, K0DQ, fondly remembers his friend as a man of many talents.
Paul was, in my view, what I would call a triathlete in ham radio. He was accomplished DXer, all bands, especially the low bands. He was a contester, which was my particular interest, and did some great things there. And he was an incredible engineer. He was a station designer. He had a good station, but it was engineered perfectly. He's of German descent, and it showed. So Paul was sort of did all those things in terms of his ham radio skill. And he was also a wonderful human being.
If you'd like to see a few photos of Paul's towers, go to his QRZ page. There you will also see some of his awards, including the W1AW Worked All States for the ARRL Centennial. Some of his other achievements include 359 confirmed countries, including 20 that are no longer on the list. He was one zone away from achieving 9-band Worked All Zones. Paul Obert will be missed by many around the world, but where he is now, the reception is static-free and the bands have no limits. All of us at Amateur Radio Newsline offer our condolences to his family and friends. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, tells us more about internet pioneer and acoustic expert Leo Baranek.
National Medal of Science winner Leo Baranek, a former amateur radio operator and the creator of ARPANET, the precursor to today's internet, has become a silent key at the age of 102. A renowned acoustical scientist, he ran the Electroacoustics Laboratory at Harvard University in the 1940s and the Navy Systems Research Laboratory at Beavertail Point, Rhode Island, for which he was given the Presidential Certificate of Merit from President Harry Truman for his work during World War II. The Iowa native, who ultimately got a Ph.D. from Harvard University, had worked with the young startup Collins Radio Company years earlier when he had to drop out of college. Many years later, in 1972, he helped found WCVB, the TV station in Boston. Leo had become a licensed radio amateur during his college years, although records now of his call sign are not available. He was given the National Medal of Science for Engineering in 2003 by President George W. Bush. The Leo Baranek Student Medal for Excellence in the Study of Noise Control was created in 2010 by the Institute of Noise Control Engineering of the United States to honor him. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K7MRG repeater in Prescott, Arizona, on Tuesday evenings. Amplitude modulation is alive and well, especially in Australia. We hear more from Amateur Radio Newsline's John Williams, VK4JJW.
Single sideband changed the shape of how we talk on the radio, putting amplitude modulation, or AM, on the sidelines because of its more sizable bandwidth. In Australia, however, there's a renewed focus on AM as a result of a newly released band plan. The guidelines apply to Australian amateur bands below 30 MHz. On 10 metres, AM is now recommended for 29 to 29.1 MHz. On 40 metres, crystal-controlled AM can be found around 7125 MHz. The upper portion of 160 metres is also recommended for AM transmissions. The band plans were updated recently by John Martin, VK3KM, the Technical Advisory Committee Coordinator for the Wireless Institute of Australia. And by the way, if you're going the AM route, be sure to listen for WIA President Phil Waite, VK2ASD, whose homebrew AM transmitter can be considered something of a frequent flyer on that designated spot on 40 metres. Not only is 7125 used for crystal control rigs, but also VFO rig AM operation. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
The spirit of a famous naval battle from the First World War lives on in a special event station in Australia. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
The team of Victor India Force Sydney Emden Action has its work cut out for them. They are commemorating November 9, 1914 as a remarkable day for the Royal Australian Navy as HMAS Sydney took on the German adversaries aboard the SMS Emden off the Cocos Keeling Islands. It was the first World War I action seen by Australia's Navy. 102 years later, this special event station, which began its operation on the 1st of November, will conclude its international contacts on November 9, but not before the operators sweep the bands between 630 metres to 6 metres. It's no small detail that most of the operators are former Navy or military personnel. The station's QRZ page notes that the special event station does not attempt to glorify war, but to commemorate everyone's bravery on both sides of the conflict. With that in mind, the Australian radio operators ask hams to remember all the brave sailors involved, not only those from Australia, but also those from Britain and Germany. Indeed, the QSL card features side-by-side portraits of Australia's Captain John Glossop and Germany's Captain Karl von Müller, calling them both the last gentlemen of war. No doubt a nod to the 1984 history book, Gentlemen of War. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
It's smart to be a ham, but it can pay off especially well to be a smart young ham. We hear why from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jerry Goodrich, KF5, KRN.
The ARRL Foundation is looking for a few bright students. Actually, the foundation is searching for a couple of dozen, all of them hopeful recipients of more than 80 scholarships available from the foundation in amounts ranging from $500 to $5,000. The scholarship application window opened on October 1st, and students who are active radio amateurs have until January 31st to submit their online application, along with a PDF of their transcript from their most recently completed academic year. The scholarship supports the students' post-secondary school education in the academic year 2017 to 2018. Last year, 81 students were awarded funds for a total of $120,150 in scholarships, which are funded entirely through contributions to the foundation by clubs, friends, and amateurs themselves. Read more about the scholarships or find an application by visiting ARRL.org/scholarship-descriptions. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jerry Goodrich, KF5 KRN.
There's good news for hams who are chasing Tom Callis, KC0W, the noted Cows Over the World DXer, whose de-expeditions came to a halt after he was the victim of a theft. Tom has announced on his QRZ.com profile that he expects to start operating in early November through the 25th of the month from the Philippines using the call sign 4I7COW. So welcome back, Tom, and to everyone else, go get 'em. Elsewhere in the world of DX, John AD8J is working as AD8J/HR9 until November 12th from the island of Guanaja, Honduras. IOTA reference NA-057. Send QSL cards via his home call sign. Rowley ZL1BQD is working until November 25th as E51RR. From Rarotonga in the South Cook Islands. Listen for him on 40, 20, and 15 meter. Send QSL cards to his home call. Be listening for the call sign XU7MDC until November 14th. That would be a team of radio operators from the Mediterraneo DX Club on the air from Cambodia. You can listen for them on all HF bands. The team's QSL manager is IK2VUC. We close this week's newscast with a story of a classic comic strip with a surprise element, Morse code. Now, Samuel Morse isn't exactly the kind of character you'd find in the pages of any comic strip, much less the classic strip, The Phantom. The Phantom, an Avenger with a sense of justice, was created in the 1930s, long after Samuel Morse devised his system of dots and dashes in the 19th century. In the strip's earliest days, the Phantom was already using amateur radio to send important messages. It seems that in the intervening years, he hasn't forgotten ham radio's reliability, nor has he forgotten his CW. Now he is an older, wiser Phantom, and the father of two, including a son attending college at a remote Himalayan location. He's seen in the comic's current story thread, keeping tabs on his son by communicating with one of his teachers via code. His wife, of course, asks her crime-fighting husband, "Isn't that obsolete?" The Phantom replies, "Nope, not at all." "Right you are, Phantom. That's what makes you our hero, too." With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, Boston Globe, Boston Business Journal, CQ Magazine, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Institute of Noise Control Engineering, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016, all rights reserved.